This is The Bottom Line. I'm Doug Wells, and today we're speaking with Johnny Hanna, co-founder of Homey and ex-president of Property Solutions. Under Johnny's leadership and that of his co-founders, Property Solutions grew to over $100 million per year in revenues and a valuation north of $1 billion. Now Johnny's hoping to replicate that success with his latest venture called Homey. Homey is tackling the residential real estate broker market, which is estimated at nearly $100 billion per year, but has remained stubbornly resistant to technology disruption. Johnny, welcome to The Bottom Line. It's a pleasure to have you as a guest.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with your first company, which was a long journey. Ended up being very successful, but it was not clear from the beginning that was going to be where you guys ended up. Talk to us about Property Solutions. What did Property Solutions do?
Property Solutions is a software company for apartment communities. So initially when we started, we built accounting software to help apartments manage their move-ins, their move-outs, and you know all their inventory. Early on, we realized there were a million competitors, and we ended up switching to build apartment community websites. So this was 2003, and what we found was hardly anybody had apartment websites, and really no one was collecting rent online. So when the fifth of the month came by, there was a line out the door of people just, you know, wanting to get to work, wanting to hurry and just give their money in, but, you know, had to get a receipt or whatever the case may be. So we started collecting rent online, building websites for apartments, and grew it from there.
So you mentioned you started with accounting software. How long was that period where you guys were focused on accounting software?
It was probably 2 years, so our first 2 years. So this was a business plan out of BYU. This was our business plan. My best friend growing up and one of his really good friends were at BYU. I was at BYU, Idaho. So I used this opportunity kind of as my senior project at BYU, Idaho, and we just stayed in touch. I did a lot of the survey work, and then we ended up winning the BYU business plan competition. And it was to build accounting software, but then it was to build websites, online payments, renter's insurance, utility billing, all these ancillary services around accounting software. So that was the original plan. And so we started out doing accounting software, and it probably took us 2 years before we realized we were selling so much more of our website systems and our online payments. That was a niche that was wide open in that industry. So we ended up just kind of putting the accounting software on hold, planning to eventually come back to it. But we wanted to, you know, go where our clients were telling us to go.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You know, your original vision for your product was a pretty complex and broad tool. Particularly with the technology that was available in 2003. Easier to build today, still would not be easy to build, though. How did you tackle that technology challenge?
So we had programmers that were original partners of ours when we first started the company. We did a lot of research. We had a few partners like Glenwood Investments. Dave Freeman owned Glenwood apartment communities right across from BYU. He gave us a lot of feedback, told us what we needed to do differently. As I went out selling our vaporware, we had a lot of feedback from clients on what they wanted based on what they currently had or what they didn't have. So they gave us some pretty good insight initially, and we brought that information back to our team and continued to try to build out what they were requesting.
And I think the part of it that made me feel was fairly complex from a technology standpoint is the accounting software. Mm-hmm. Did you build that from scratch, or was there a third-party plugin that you used?
No, it was from scratch, and I think that was why it took so long. I mean, we were reinventing the wheel, and we had a really small team.
And a really big competitor, right? Intuit is huge, QuickBooks.
Yeah, and they're specific competitors in the property management space that had been there since the 80s. So not too many people used Intuit. There were a few of the small ma and pa owners of apartments that did that, but we were looking to go after the bigger apartment communities. And there were established competitors that had accounting software from the 80s. So maybe we should have realized that we should have pivoted quicker, but it did take us a couple of years.
And a lot of people would have quit. What do you think it was about you and your partners that said, you know what, we still think we have something here?
I think, you know, none of us had a lot of expenses at that time. We were all graduated from school. I wasn't married. You know, I could live on a few hundred bucks a month. I actually rented out my apartment to a roommate of mine. So I lived in the closet and he lived in my little apartment. I mean, and there was already six apartments in that building. So I made it seven with my walk-in closet.
That's dedication.
Yeah,
you were literally, your bedroom was the closet.
Yeah. My roommates made fun of me and told me I came out of the closet every day. It didn't bother me. You know, it was actually a pretty good sized closet, so it fit a single bed in there. And my other partners, you know, I don't think any of us, you know, we weren't into buying gadgets or big cars or anything like that. So.
Still 2 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And how long was that after you graduated?
We graduated in 2003, April 2003. So yeah, probably a little bit into 2005, maybe even touching on 2006.
And I just want to, you know, paint the landscape here and put it in perspective. It's easy to touch on this, which is why I'm sticking with it, because, you know, this is what makes entrepreneurship difficult, right? If you knew the outcome was you are building a company that's going to have $100 million in revenue someday, of course you stick with it. Of course you give up your bedroom and you move into your closet for a couple months, or in your case, a couple years. But when you don't know the outcome, boy, a lot of your friends are saying, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I think just growing within the industry, understanding it better, we saw that there was plenty of opportunity, and we saw that we could create something great after a few months. So even though it took a few years, we had a vision after just really seeing what existed and how hard the other competitors were, you know, working, how much they were listening to existing clients, how relaxed some of them were. And then a couple of those niches like websites and online payments that just didn't exist, we saw a tremendous opportunity there. And, you know, and then as we grew in those two areas of websites and payments, we became the market leader. And at that point, you know, we had offers to sell, but we saw, again, we'd been there then several years and saw more opportunity. So we thought, let's take this revenue, reinvest, and continue to build out our accounting software and our other tools to kind of dominate the industry and be the one-stop shop.
Yeah, and let's talk about the role that BYU played in helping you become an entrepreneur. We've had the folks in from University of Utah. We need to have the folks in from BYU as well, the folks that are running and facilitating the entrepreneurship program. How did the business contest, how did the entrepreneurial environment and classes, how did that help out?
Well, I think, one, a lot of the professors stuck with us and became advisors for us. So we were thrilled to have them continue to advise us along our path. And we won that BYU business plan. We ended up winning a national competition sponsored by Fortune magazine. And that was with all the MBAs nationwide. And we ended up winning that program. Gary Williams was one of our investors, advisors, professors. And he came out there with us. He had been in New York before, so he showed us around, took us to his favorite pastrami shop. And, you know, they were friends beyond professors, you know, beyond advisors. So, and then BYU, they continued to do publications in their alumni magazine. And anybody that was a BYU alum that also owned apartment communities, we were getting in front of thanks to that publication. So, you know, we kind of branched out from BYU, you know, went to, you know, St. George, Ephraim, Rexburg. So a lot of the kind of Mormon connection that BYU had, that those are the different areas we went to and found others that had that connection to BYU and expanded our business with those clients.
If you're just joining us this morning, our guest is Johnny Hanna, ex-president of Property Solutions and co-founder of Homey, a startup that helps homeowners sell their homes without paying big brokerage commissions. We're going to talk about that in a moment, but we're going to wrap up first here on Property Solutions. So you were down in Provo. There is a very vibrant and healthy rental community there. I think BYU, more than any other college that I know of, is involved in making sure that ecosystem, that relationship between the students and the landlord stays healthy. Do you think that help play a role to helping you build Property Solutions in the early days?
Absolutely. Yeah, and we didn't realize how big of a role it was going to have until later on. So when we came back to finishing our accounting software, having built it for students and kind of built it by the bed, where, you know, they rented it out by the bed. That really wasn't being done very well in our industry. So that allowed us, once we built our accounting software, to go after student housing nationwide. And then we got in with some really big clients that had big student housing portfolios, but then they had conventional properties or tax credit properties or military properties. And so then we expanded from there, and they helped educate us on what we needed to build. So starting at BYU with the rental scene and even the restrictions that BYU had, I think helped us build out, you know, our software to make it very tailored. You know, that there was a lot of functionality that could be turned on or turned off based on your portfolio type. So it allowed us to be very disciplined early on to fit the software to our clients' needs.
And, you know, as you look back at that journey, I mean, there are some tough, lean years there. Sometimes those are the most enjoyable for people as they look back. And sometimes people are like, boy, I never want to go through that again. As you look back at your journey with Property Solutions, what was the part of it that you enjoyed the most?
I think the friendships. I mean, there are times where you don't know you're going to get paid or not. You know, there's times where, you know, we don't know if our clients, you know, we've billed them, but is that check going to come in? You know, there's pressure there, and I don't enjoy that. I don't look back. I don't want to repeat that experience. But yeah, the friendships that were there, the employees that wanted this to succeed. I think everybody we hired, we tried to find other entrepreneurs that wanted to create something out of nothing and be part of something bigger. So those friendships are forever. And I mean, the first few support employees, the first few sales guys, they're still super close friends of mine. And then beyond that, it's a really small industry. They're the apartment owners, the National Apartment Association, and those clients have become best friends of mine as well. So, you know, even though I'm now no longer part of Property Solutions and have kind of moved on, my friendships have remained. And that's what I look back on.
That's neat. And that's one of the special things that's hard to replicate outside of the entrepreneurial experience. You know, as I hear you tell your story, I find myself rooting for you. I know Property Solutions has already been a big success. But that's a really valuable skill as a entrepreneur, as a manager, is having a personality where other people want you to succeed. And if you're doing things and saying things so that people want you to succeed, it probably won't work. It just has to be genuinely who you are. What do you think it was in your background that gave you that personality and that outlook?
My parents split at an early age, and my mom ended up having custody of us. And my dad was just this hardworking cowboy. He ended up starting his own construction firm. So he taught me hard work. He taught me discipline. But my mom then had to take care of us, and she went to school at night. I remember, you know, she got her degree at University of Phoenix at night. She was a secretary for McDonnell Douglas. It then got acquired by Boeing, and then she just worked her way up. And I think you know, I really asked her every day when she came home, you know, how was your day, and paid attention to her. And I think women in the workforce aren't treated the same. And she shared a lot of those experiences with me on you know, fairness, on just how people made her feel. And I think I inherited a lot of those characteristics from her. But I think hearing her background in the business world, I always wanted to make sure to treat people fairly. And I think genuinely care. And again, I think you pointed out, being genuine is the most important thing. And I do, I genuinely care about others. And that's where these friendships that formed early on, you know, have continued to last.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad I asked that question. That's a interesting answer. Your mother's experience. And, you know, unfortunately, the path of women today is not that different than it was 20 years ago. I mean, 50 years ago, the country made a lot of progress. And we've kind of stalled, and Ross and I in this show, it's a topic that we've brought up several times. Were there things you were able to do at Property Solutions to make it more friendly? In particular, the startup community is not that welcoming and accepting of women. There is a gender gap there still.
Yeah, I think, you know, any role that we hired, you know, we weren't looking to fill with a certain gender, but the majority of the applicants were male. I feel like 98% of the applicants were male. So, yeah, it still was a male-dominated company to a degree. But I feel personally what I loved to do was I ended up meeting my wife a few years after we formed Property Solutions. And she is my business partner. And she was such a big part of Property Solutions, even though she wasn't paid. She wasn't there on a day-to-day basis. But when I came home, she had been talking to kids all day, and she wanted to have adult conversations, and she wanted to know what I did at work. She was worried, you know, are you flirting with pretty girls at work? You know, what are you doing over there? And so I think it was healthy for her to question me. But beyond that, she gave great insight, that feminine perspective, I think, that we were lacking because it was more of a male-dominated company. You know, and then as we grew, you know, I don't know what the percentage is now between male and female, and but at the beginning it was, you know, probably 80% male, 20% female. But bringing my wife in, she then became friends with my my other partner's wives. I think she's best friends with them now, and brought them in. And she has that personality to get to know every employee. She heard me talking about how highly I thought of all these different people that were working with me. How much smarter I thought they were than me, you know, and how lucky I felt to be working with these people. So, you know, she wanted to get to know them. She heard me tell stories about my clients, and she came to trade shows. She came to different events. And I feel like that was a really helpful part of the company, involving her.
That's awesome. That's really important. You hear entrepreneurs say it sounds trite, but your most important partner in any venture is going to be your spouse. Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more with Johnny Hanna, co-founder of Homey and ex-president of Property Solutions. Welcome back to The Bottom Line on KCPW. I'm Doug Wells. Today we're speaking with Johnny Hanna, who helped Property Solutions grow to over $100 million in revenues. He's now the co-founder of Homey, a startup that's disrupting the real estate brokerage business. You know, just before break, we were talking about your wife. I believe her name's Paige. Mm-hmm. I was doing a little research, saw some interviews where your wife was with you as well. And you mentioned that, you know, she knew about the details of what was going on from a business standpoint. And that's unusual, you know, for a lot of couples, they try to kind of separate the two. I think that can also be a really big strength. Did she ever think about maybe joining the team as well? And what about on your current startup? Did she think about maybe help joining officially?
No, she always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And we have five little boys, and we just had our sixth child, which is now she finally got her girl. So she loves that. She loves that life. And I love what she's doing. The way she's raising the kids, and the way that she was involved in the company, I think helped fulfill any of those desires that she might have had to join a company or go, you know, start a new profession. And then with Homey, she's had zero interest. When she heard I was doing a new startup, she wasn't that excited.
Her hands are full now.
Yeah,
Five boys and a girl at home.
Yeah, now you know, with six kids and a dog, you know, she's like, now you're going to go start another company, you know. You know, so she wasn't too
How
thrilled.
About the decision to leave Property Solutions? Did you guys, I would imagine you talked for a long period of time on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was about a 7-8 month process. My partners, we all had the discussion once we hit our decade mark that any of us could leave at any time. You know, we definitely had people smarter than us in the different roles that we used to be in. So it wouldn't really hurt the company in any way. And, you know, 12 years into it, I was the first to make that jump. But yeah, my wife and I, we had ongoing conversations. And then I just wasn't ready. When we first started talking about it, I hadn't really entertained it. She kind of brought it up and said, maybe it's time for you to move on and do something different.
12 years is a long time for any entrepreneur.
Yeah. And I agreed. I agreed with that as well. But yeah, then just one night, it was a Wednesday night, a little over a year ago in December, and I just felt it was time. And I was at peace with it and told I wanted to sleep on it. So I wanted to sleep on it a couple days in a row to really feel good. And I did. I felt the same each day, and then went in and told my partners on a Friday and just said, I feel it's time for me to move on, and they were very supportive. And I took a couple months to help another individual come in and kind of transition in my place. And then, my partner threw a little going away party for me almost a year ago today. So.
And did you take any time off between Property Solutions and Homie?
Yeah, I did. I took a couple months off, but the last day of Property Solutions when my partners threw me that little going away party that afternoon, my outside legal counsel was a guy named Matt Thorne. And I knew him from Hahn and Hart. He was my outside legal counsel there. He brought an individual named Mike Peregrina to my office that afternoon and said, and Matt Thorne was doing some of my exit paperwork, so he knew I was leaving. And he had this idea to do a real estate software company, knew that that's exactly what Property Solutions is.
Mike did or Matt?
Matt. Okay. So Matt had this idea, and he brought Mike with him. And he and Mike had been going back and forth about leaving their jobs and about starting this company. And so they knew
Mike
I had done it before.
Was with Mercado Partners, right?
Right.
Which is a
Mike Peregrina.
A venture capital firm that's doing really, really well. So that was not an easy leap for Mike to make either.
And he's a brilliant guy. And I know he was having a great career with Mercado. So yeah, it was a big leap for him. Matt Thorne, you know, was originally hired by Wilson Sonsini, a great law firm. You know, he got his degree out of USC. You know, he was at Hahn and Hart, Stoll Reeves. So I mean, two really smart guys, and they pitched me on this idea. And I thought, you know, I had bought a few homes before and sold a few homes and didn't think it was incredibly difficult. They told me that they wanted to automate it. And there were a lot of similarities with what I did at Property Solutions and a lot of similar partners that I knew I could bring on, partnerships, and even clients. A lot of my clients that owned apartments were home builders. And I knew that, we could also work with them. So it was very intriguing. And then they told me the name of the company was Homie. And I said, I'm a homie. You know, that's who I am. I use the term homie frequently. My wife, when she heard it, she's like, oh, no. You already use it way too frequently. You're this old white guy, you know, like, so we had a good time with it, but I still told them, I said, look, this is my last day. I need some time off. So we took about 2 months to make a decision, and we took a vacation, had a great time. And then I interviewed with a bunch of other startups. I entertained other brand new ideas. I didn't necessarily look at working with, you know, big existing companies. I was pretty drawn to the startup scene, but this concept kept coming back to me, and Mike and Matt were just, they were persistent, but really intelligent guys, and I looked more and more into the research they had done and saw that no one had actually really ever tried to remove the realtor completely. A lot of people have.
Well, let's talk about that, because it's a huge space. It's, yep. You know, I said, you know, close to $100 billion a mm-hmm. year. I think the official numbers are closer to 70, 75 billion. In general, real estate brokers are getting 6% for selling a house. I have several friends that are real estate brokers.
Yeah, we
good
all do.
People.
Yep.
And there are situations where absolutely you want to use a real estate broker. Mm-hmm. There's also situations where you don't need to pay 6%. Mm-hmm. It's an industry where other people have tried to disintermediate and cut out the middle guy, cut out the real estate broker. Nobody's succeeded at that 20 years after the start of the internet. So it's a big space. It's ripe for a platform, which is what you guys are creating. Why do you think it hasn't succeeded yet?
So I think that timing is key. The timing of where technology is today and consumer behavior, I think those two things tie together perfectly and allow us, you know, we feel the stars have aligned for us to start this today. So Zillow and Trulia and Redfin, they all kind of started at the same time back in, you know, 2004, 2005. And their goal was just to put all the homes on maps so that you could easily find homes instead of, you know, having to look at a booklet or be driven around by a realtor. So they wanted to give you that opportunity to search. And thanks to those companies, they have changed consumer behavior, where now 90%+ of people start their search online themselves. And the National Association of Realtors state that 70% of people find their own home, you know, before they even contact a realtor. So they've changed consumer behavior in that regard, where search, of course, yeah, I'll go to Zillow or I'll pull it up and get it on my phone. And my wife and I, we're not planning on moving anytime soon, but, you know, we have the app when we drive around, and she likes to see other homes that we drive by and take see the pictures inside. And so it's that technology is now in the palm of your hand. So it's pretty impressive. So that's, we feel that Zillow and Trulia, they push you in the direction of using an agent, and they stop there.
That's their revenue model, right? Is really referrals to agents.
Exactly.
In fact, I was on Homie's site doing some research here. You can do a search on Homie by zip code. And then if you want, you make it very easy to go over to Zillow or Trulia. Was that a difficult decision to say that we're going to make this really easy to tie into the existing platforms?
No, actually, that was one of kind of the growth hacks. We thought we had to become this destination website and have, you know, thousands of homes listed. But when we realized we could kind of become the Kayak of real estate and just link off to Zillow, link off to the MLS, to Trulia, to KSL, all the inventory is already there. So we tell people, buy any home on any website and use Homie to make the offer for you. And so people are, you know, use agents because they don't really understand the process. They're afraid of the paperwork. And Homie helps with all of that.
So I talked about disintermediating the real estate agent. Talk to us about what Homie does, what the breadth of services are. You just mentioned that, you know, it's pretty daunting for a lot of folks thinking about the legal paperwork and everything else. So what are the services that Homie provides?
Yeah, we feel that every step along the way, you can actually have a better experience than if you were to use an agent. So, for example, with the paperwork, instead of using an agent who, you know, they have to go in the state of Utah, it costs $156 to become an agent and about 70 hours of schooling. Instead of them helping you with the paperwork, we recommend having a lawyer with a law degree, you know, and it's a better experience in that regard. They know the law and they can help you, you know, be pretty creative. And so we have real estate attorneys that can help you with all that paperwork. And actuality, the real estate purchase contract is only 6 pages. So we have, you still go through the lending paperwork with your lender. You go through the title and escrow paperwork with them, but that 6 pages, you know, we help you with a real estate attorney. Agents would typically help you price a home and would give you a valuation of what they think you could sell it for. We use certified appraisers that are trained in appraising homes. So we partner with them, so they give you that appraisal up front. So if you're going to sell your home, for example, we have a couple, the Jensens that work at Zions Bank, they were going to list their home for $310,000 with us, and we told them, look, you know, part of our package beyond getting assistance with the paperwork from a real estate attorney is a full-blown, you know, a desktop appraisal. And so that came back at $325,000. They were going to do $310,000. So not only did they save money by not having an agent, but then they raised their price to $325,000. And they got full asking price in 72 hours.
You know, 90% of the listeners are smiling at this story, but there's somebody in their car that says, "Oh, I paid $15,000 more than I had to for my car." If you're just joining us today, our guest is Johnny Hanna, ex-president of Property Solutions and co-founder of Homie, a startup that's helping homeowners save the 6% commission that's common in real estate sales. So the appraisal, the other services, is this all done electronically and online, or is there somebody that comes out to do the appraisal?
So the appraisal is a desktop appraisal. It's from a certified company, one of our partners. So we've partnered with other lenders, inspectors, title escrow companies. But yeah, the appraisal firm, they just do a desktop appraisal. So they look at all the comps in the neighborhood of homes that have sold, and they come up with a value of what they feel your home is worth. And it's done by a human, a certified appraiser, and so they put their name behind it. And, you know, I used it personally. I just sold my rental home. Same thing, I was going to list it for $230,000. The appraisal came back at $243,000. I got an offer for $245,000, $2,000 above asking price, in 3 days. I mean, what we're seeing is there isn't any part in this process where we needed, you know, an agent to help out there. You still have, you know, all the different people from the lending companies, the title escrow, all those people, you still have a whole team that's helping you. We just involve them much sooner now that we've removed the agent.
Interesting. So you mentioned the Jensens, about a $300,000 house. Mm-hmm. 6% of that would be $18,000, mm-hmm. if I'm doing my math correctly. What's your revenue model?
So we charge up front. So anybody that wants to list or advertise with us, we charge an advertising fee of currently it's $299 up front. And if their home sells that first month, that's all they pay. If it doesn't, it's $99 a month thereafter. And that's it. And that fee includes real estate attorney assistance. It includes the appraisal. It includes photography. You know, a yard sign, you don't have to get your yard sign from Home Depot or Lowe's and scribble your handwriting on it. You know, we have a professional sign with a nice vinyl post. We screen all of your calls for you. So when you do, and we don't represent the seller or the buyer, so we're just a platform. So it's still for sale by owner. And when you do for sale by owner, the first couple days, you get about 20 to 30 calls from realtors telling you you've made a bad decision. So we have an automated phone service that screens those calls and just has buyers go through directly to the seller. So there's all those services are included up front.
And is it relatively straightforward to offer this nationwide or is it regulated by state and every state's different?
Every state is different. And, you know, we have kind of our next five states planned out of where we're going based on those regulations. But yeah, I mean, here in Utah, Matt Thorne, as I mentioned, is my legal partner and he's our real estate attorney. He's read through, you know, all of the different legalities of what, you know, we need to focus on to be compliant. And so we're looking to move into other states here in the Midwest in the next 6-7 months.
Well, it's an interesting space. It's a huge space, huge value add. You know, as I hear you tell the story, you know, for $299, or let's say you give it 2 months, so it's $300.
Yeah.
You put it on Homie and see what happens. And if you find out you're one of those special cases where you do need a professional real estate agent to help you find the right buyer, you have a special property that's unique, and it takes a special person to appreciate that and understand the value. But you put it on Homie first and see where you're at. I mean, it's very little downside, right? People are not locked in. I know typically in the real estate industry, they try to say, well, you know, I'm your agent for the next 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, kind of lock you in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we've seen. So we don't want to lock anybody into any type of contract. So yeah, absolutely. Try us out. It's not going to cost you very much. And there's huge upside. And the value we're giving you, you do get that appraisal up front. I mean, that alone is worth it. Photography, you get to keep all the photos. You know, so you do get value up front, even if it doesn't end up working out.
My house is not for sale, but yeah, I'm tempted to put it up and just see. I'm just kidding. So Homie, it's one of your favorite words. There's different ways to spell it. Tell folks how you're spelling Homie and how they can check out Homie online.
It's HOMIE.com.
And I think that's the way 90% of people would guess, which is a good thing with a URL. Before we let you go, let me go back to the entrepreneurial journey. So you've had a huge success under your belt. You're now doing it again. You're raising money. And it's never easy to raise money. People would think, okay, this big success with Property Solutions, boy, the money's just pouring in. The reality is, for very few people, is that end up being the case. Tell us about that journey of raising capital.
Yeah, I almost feel that if I were to be doing, you know, something in the apartment industry again, or, you know, trying some new property management software, having had the success that we had, it would be easier to raise money. But we are trying something that hasn't ever been done in the 20-year history of the internet, in changing the way that this industry works and removing the agent. And so it almost feels like we're going around telling people that we're curing cancer, you know, and we share them our PowerPoint and we say, no, here's our PowerPoint. Here's how we're going to cure cancer. And everyone's like, oh, you know, that's nice. Yeah, you had success in the past, but come back to us, you know, after you have the cure, you know, after you found it. So that's how it feels. But at this point, we now have, you know, over 50 FSBOs listed with us. We've had 15 homes go under contract. I believe 7 of those have already closed. So we feel like we've found the cure. We feel like we've cured it now 15 times in a row, and it's the same formula. and there isn't anything different to it. So now we're going back out raising money saying, look, we've cured 15 people and it's identical. We just now need money to increase our marketing spend to let people know that we found the cure. So right now it's much easier than what it was when we first started. So we had a few people take a big gamble on us. Peak Ventures
and Mike Leventhal. A shout out to Mike. He's an ex-general partner with Mayfield Fund, one of the big respected funds in the Bay Area. I know you got a pretty significant announcement that you can't talk about yet, but another big, well-respected Bay Area firm is going to be participating in your latest round. So it sounds like you've started to crack that nut, which is not easy to do. So congratulations on doing that. So your business can scale nationwide, right? And so we've talked about the investing. You still got to build the product. And having a platform that can handle a couple thousand people is very different than having a platform that can scale to a couple hundred thousand. We were talking about Clint Betts in the green room ahead of time. Clint is actively involved and has given the Utah community Beehive Startups and Start SLC. I forget the name of the event down in Provo in the fall, very similar to Start SLC. He and his business partners at iZenny have done a lot to help the entrepreneurial community. And in fact, iZenny's core business is not putting on entrepreneurial events. They do that as a way to give back. Their core business is technology development for startup companies. And I went on your website and saw that you used iZenny in the early days. Talk to us about the decision to do that versus bringing in a couple all-star programmers day one. Why did you decide to outsource that?
Well, here in this area, I mean, everybody's doing software startups, and so it's really hard to find really talented programmers. And iZenny's done a great job in forming a solid team with experienced guys who can get stuff done. And so they had a great reputation, and we met them, really liked them, and they did great work for us. So in order to get off the ground right away, you know, we want, you know, speed is always a concern. We have a sense of urgency in making this thing happen, so we wanted to start programming right away, and they were a great option for us.
I'm glad to hear that, because they do a lot of good things for the community here, and they do it out of the goodness of their heart. They're not trying to I'm sure there is a business development component to it, but it's tertiary to everything else. And that is a challenge. I mean, you've got a law partner. Neither you or Mike are programmers, so you're facing a challenge that a lot of entrepreneurs face. It costs money to develop a product like that. You're fortunate you've had a success under your belt. You had some initial investors. I oftentimes tell entrepreneurs, you know, teach yourself to code and build a product that, you know what, it may not be perfect, it may not be pretty, but in 3 to 6 months, you can probably learn enough skills to kind of get an idea as to whether or not you have something.
Yeah. And we do have a fourth partner who is our CTO, Mike Trionfo. And he was my co-founder at Property Solutions. He was our original CTO that built out our infrastructure.
So he knows about building to scale.
He ran development for Domo for a couple of years. I mean, he's the real deal. And the team that he's built so far, so we have a team of five, and they are some of the best guys I've ever met personally. Just cultural-wise, they're wonderful to work with, but they're brilliant, and they're, I think, the team to build this product out.
Excellent. As you look at the future in the next couple of months, what are you most excited about?
It's, you know, we're just now getting started. And so seeing people as excited as they are right now that have used us, you know, we've done a few video testimonials. I mentioned the Jensens. Their video already has 28,000 views. And here in Utah, that's viral. You know, that's big.
That's a lot of views.
And so, you know, we're continuing to do these video testimonials and seeing the people that we worked with. You know, another gentleman I never saw, I heard his name, Brian Messimer. We sold his home and where he used our platform to sell his home in Saratoga Springs. He did a video testimony with us, and it was great to see him on camera. I never met him in person before. But he's now referred another friend to us. And the Jensens, they referred their dad to us. And it's just, it's starting to get going. And this is what's exciting. You know, people are you know, saw the process.
Saving
that it was easy.
6% selling your house
and saving
is huge.
That money.
I mean,
it's
that puts
so
a smile on you. You and I are in the studio just smiling, just thinking about it. That's real money for folks.
Yeah.
And the nice thing, 28,000 views, that's huge.
What, it's huge.
How do you think you ended up with that many views?
I think it goes back to our team. Earlier, we talked about Dan Might. You introduced us to Dan Might. He's our VP of operations. He came from Uber. He was a general manager, opened up Baltimore and D.C. from scratch. Dave Bascom is our VP of marketing. Do you know who he is? He was the founder and CEO of SEO.com. Brilliant marketer. He also started Fit Marketing. It recently sold to Stride. So he reached out to us out of the blue and said, hey, do you have a marketing fit? And, you know, we said, yes, please. You know, just great guy. And I looked to hire him at Property Solutions before I ever even knew him and met him. I knew his background, and that was years ago. And so having him, you know, set up a lunch and then talk about Homie, hearing what we're up to, he wanted to be part of this. And he's a big part of getting that 28,000 views. He's really, really good.
That's not easy to do. So yeah. Clearly you've got some folks that are working some magic.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like the future's bright. It's a big idea. I think the world will be a better place if we can all save 6% when we sell our houses, except for special situations when you need a professional on your side. Thanks for coming in and talking with us, Johnny.
Thank you, guys.
Our guest this morning has been Johnny Hanna, co-founder of the startup Homie and recent president of Property Solutions. You can find out more about Johnny's latest company at homie.com. You can hear our entire interview with Johnny on our website, kcpw.org. You can tweet me, nicely please, at Savvy Wells or at kcpw, bottom line. I'm Doug Wells. Join us next week on The Bottom Line.